So 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, page 458 in the Church Bibles, as Charlie said. And it's the story of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father, Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his ancestors. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. His mother's name was Jecoliah, and she was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. He went to war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabneh, and Ashdod. He then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabs who lived at Gilgal, and against the Maonites. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt, because he had become very powerful. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He also built towers in the wilderness and dug many cisterns, because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plain. He had people working his fields and vineyards in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Uzziah had a well-trained army ready to go out by divisions, according to their numbers as mustered by Jael the secretary and Maaseiah the officer under the direction of Hananiah, one of the royal officials. The total number of family leaders over the fighting men was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 men trained for war, a powerful force to support the king against his enemies. Uzziah provided shields, spears, helmets, coats of armour, bows and sling stones for the entire army. In Jerusalem he made devices invented for use on the towers and on the corner defences, so that soldiers could shoot arrows and hurl large stones from the walls. His fame spread far and wide, for he greatly helped until he became powerful. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honoured by the Lord God." Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and excluded from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. The other events of Uzziah's reign from the beginning to end are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. Uzziah rested with his ancestors and was buried near them in a cemetery that belonged to the kings, for people said he had leprosy, and Jotham, his son, succeeded him as king.
Thanks, John. Thanks, William and Mercy. Thought it would be good for us to see a little bit of that story, as it might be unfamiliar to some of us. Let me pray as we start. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the stories, the exciting stories that tell us more about you and your character and point us to Jesus. This Good Friday, please help us to see more of him and what he accomplished for us at the cross. Amen. If we haven't met, by the way, my name's Matt. I'm a pastor assistant here. I'm going to try and explain this story to us. Just imagine the scene in Judah as this has happened to the king. And someone's wandering along and says, "Did you hear about King Uzziah?" "What? Our King Uzziah? Oh, I love him. He's our powerful ruler. He's got the massive army. He did all the rebuilding. He loves God, and he's famous all over the world. He's had this really long reign. Him. Well, did you hear what happened? He's got a skin disease. He's been kicked out of the temple, and he's got to live in a separate house. His son's taking over. He can't be king anymore. Oh, poor guy. What happened? Uzziah was doing great. In what way did he fail? Well, we're going to dig into that. It's a really great story, but we're going to go further as well, because we don't just want to wallow in the sad story of this flawed king. We want to look further, because today is Good Friday. So you might be wondering why we're looking at this strange Old Testament story rather than one of the gospel accounts of Jesus. Well, don't worry, we are going to talk about Jesus, because this story shows us how badly we need him. As we look at Uzziah, who is Jesus's, wait for it, great, 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 great grandfather, we see a glimpse of the future king, the better king, who succeeded where Uzziah failed. And we're going to see how Good Friday makes a massive difference to us today and to our relationship with God. So if you've followed Jesus for 50 years or for 5 weeks, or if you're just investigating, let this true story show us how wonderful he is and how he's done an amazing thing for us. So right at the start this morning, even if you fall asleep for the next half hour, I want you to remember this. This is the message of Good Friday. Jesus entered God's presence and opened the way for us. So approach boldly. Say that again. Jesus entered God's presence and opened the way for us. So approach boldly. And I think the story of Uzziah shows us how wonderful that is. We're going to see what it takes to enter God's presence, how amazing it is that the way is open for us, and why this means we can approach God boldly. So the first thing we're going to see is what it means to enter God's presence. This is what Uzziah does in verse 16. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's see who Uzziah was, first of all. Let's imagine we've got a game of top trumps, kings of Judah. And here's Uzziah's card. So what have we got? We've got popularity, 100. Everyone makes him king. Verse 1, all the people of Judah took Uzziah and made him king. That's everyone wants him to be king. He's quite popular. What have we got next? Length of reign, 52 years. Verse 3, he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. That's quite a long reign. Not quite as long as Queen Elizabeth II, but quite a long reign. God-seeking rating, I'd give him a 10 out of 10. Verse 5 says that. It says, he sought God during the days of Zechariah. That doesn't mean he's looking for God, as if God's hiding from him. It means that asking God what's right and seeking to do his will, trying to do what pleases God in every decision. Enemies conquered, 3. Look at verse 7. Defeats the Arabs, the Maonites, and the Philistines. Fame, 8 out of 10. It's not the whole world, but he's famous even as far as Egypt, which used to be Israel's enemies. So that's pretty cool. He's famous and feared, I suppose, in the lands of Israel's enemies. Construction, 10 out of 10. Towers, cities, cisterns, working the fields. And finally, size of army, 310,100. That's the numbers in verse 12 and 13 added together, also known as 10 times the population of Huntingdon. It's a pretty strong card, I'd say. You'd be pretty pleased if you got this in your hand in a game of top trumps. And the author tells us again and again how Uzziah became such a good, successful king. Did you see that? Verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Verse 7, God helped him against the Philistines. Verse 15, he was greatly helped. So he didn't do this on his own. He had God with him. He had God on his side. All of these top trumps ratings, the most important one is his God-seeking rating. Uzziah seeks God, he prays, he asks God what's right. And because of this, God gives him success. Uzziah sees himself as God's servant and wants to do his will. But sadly, this doesn't last. Come back with me to verse 16. This is sort of the key turning point of the passage. The uplifting victory music stops and a single violin note hovers before the soundtrack changes and everything comes crashing down. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now hang on, doesn't this seem like a good thing? Is this just another way of Uzziah seeking God? It's like he's bringing God a present. It's not quite like that, because God's law clearly states that only the priests are to bring incense into the temple. And Uzziah's not a priest. Normal people, even the king, could only enter the temple courtyard. I've got a little diagram here. They could only enter the green square, the outside, the temple courtyard. The priests could go into the blue square, the holy place, or the court for the priests. And once a year, the high priest, one guy, once a year, with a sacrifice, could go into the most holy place where they had the stone tablets the Ten Commandments were written on. So, and that's marked off by a big thick curtain. Uzziah's not a priest, and he tries to go into the second one, the holy place. We don't know much about why he does this. We know that it's pride. Perhaps he got so proud that he just forgot he wasn't meant to be in there, that he just let God's law slip his mind. Or maybe he got so proud that he looked back at his life and all his achievements and he said, God wants me there, right? He got proud and he thought that his good deeds earned him a right to God's presence, to an intimate personal relationship with him. Do you find yourself doing that sometimes? Either getting relaxed about God's law or thinking that your deeds earn you a right to his presence. God wants me. God wants me on his side, right? I've got so much going for me. I'm his mate. He wants me around. So the question in Uzziah's story is this. Is that going to work? Can you get into God's presence based on the good stuff you've done? Well, no. Uzziah might be the king, but God is so much greater than him. God is so much higher. Uzziah's sin is like dirt to God. He's stinking up the place, leaving muddy footprints all over God's house. Quite frankly, it's embarrassing. The only people who were allowed to enter the temple were the priests, and they could only enter God's presence because God makes them clean. They're sinful too. They're just like Uzziah, but they went through rituals to cleanse them, and there were certain things that they as priests were never allowed to do, like touch dead bodies. God graciously allows the priests into his holy place because he makes them clean as they can represent God's people. This is the way that God lives in relationship with his people on his initiative, his cleansing of the priests. People can only come to God on his terms, not on the basis of anything they've done. And that's why Uzziah, with all his success, all his fame, he cannot enter God's presence. And if God won't let this king in, how can we think he'll let us in? This is the problem humanity faces. There is a God. There is something more than this world. And we don't find it by searching in ourselves. Or even in loving other people or in enjoying his world. We find it in relationship with him. And no matter how good we try to be, we cannot enter his presence. We're standing outside, banging on the door, screaming, "Let me in!" But the door is barred, and there's no way we can get in. The source of everything good, the God who made light shine into the darkness, is too holy for us. We're messed up, broken sinners, and we can't dare go near him. And so we're destined for an eternity of darkness, separation, and grief. But that's where Good Friday comes in. We don't have priests here at Christ Church Huntingdon. We don't have Charlie up here entering God's presence every week for us. There's no altar here. This is just a table. There's no altar for sacrifices. We don't offer dead sheep or goats here. So aren't we disobeying God's law? Are we disobeying God's way of coming to him? No, we're not. because we do have someone who entered God's presence to offer not just incense, but a sacrifice. Not King Uzziah, but King Jesus, offering his own body as a sacrifice. And he didn't just enter the temple, he entered heaven itself. Verse we had at the start, Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't a mistake. It was a sacrifice. Jesus offering himself outside God's presence on earth and then entering heaven, the real center of God's presence, not just the temple, to present that sacrifice. And the sacrifice is so much better than anything the priests did because it lasts forever. It only happened once. We don't need priests anymore. That's why it really bugs me that some Christians refer to their church leaders as priests. We don't have earthly priests. We have one heavenly priest, Jesus. And because Jesus rose again on Easter Sunday, we know that he's in heaven now presenting his sacrifice. He's not dead, he's alive. Every time we sin, every time we mess up, we know that we have Jesus in heaven before God, in God's presence, saying, yeah, but I paid for that sin. You can't count that sin against him. You can't count that sin against her because I paid for it on the cross. That's the story of Good Friday. Jesus entering God's presence to offer a sacrifice for sin, for your sin and for mine. But it gets better. Jesus entered God's presence and opened the way for us. Let's go back to Uzziah and the priests in the temple. So as good as this temple system was for Judah, the three sort of levels, and it was good, let's not deny that. It allowed them to come to God. But it did mean that only the priests could go into his presence. It couldn't do anything to open the way for anyone else. So when Uzziah tried to enter God's presence, they needed to intervene. Did you see that? Verse 17. Azariah the priest with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests." Say, that's courageous indeed to challenge the king. But they're doing right. They're not acting rashly. They've gathered a group of priests to issue this challenge, and they're correcting Uzziah according to God's word. And Uzziah doesn't really take it very well. He becomes angry. Verse 19, God strikes him with leprosy, which in the Bible is shorthand for all manner of skin diseases. And one commentator says, to attempt the rite, that is, to try to offer the incense, that was bad enough. But being angry at being rebuked for it, that's what brought the punishment. Just a little aside here quickly. I think there's a lesson here for all of us in leadership. Church pastors, ministry leaders, like life group leaders or kids group leaders, fathers and husbands who are leaders in the home, or even higher up leaders in the Church of England. We need to act in accordance with God's word. And when leaders don't do that, we as members of the church or the team or the family, we need to challenge that and hold our leaders accountable. This doesn't mean confronting a leader every time they do something you don't like. But like the priests, noticing when leaders do something that's disobeying God, gently taking them aside, maybe after discussing it with a few others. Note that Azariah comes with 80 other priests that all agree. And saying, look, here's what God's word says. I think what you're doing might not be right. It's a courageous and godly way to rebuke leaders. And church leaders, team leaders, ministry leaders, husbands, fathers, when we're rebuked, don't be like Uzziah. Don't get angry and rage at people with a flaming censer. Listen to what they have to say, and they may well be right. And they may well help you act better in line with God's word. Anyway, back to the story. The priests couldn't open the way for Uzziah. He was not allowed to go and offer incense, but he tried to. So what happens to him? Well, he gets angry, and God afflicts him with a skin disease, which according to the Old Testament law makes him unclean. So the priests drag him out of there because he's polluting God's house, not just with his sin and now with his skin disease. Quick as a flash, he's excluded from the temple of the Lord for the rest of his life. His son, Jotham, becomes prince regent, rules in his place, and Uzziah can't even enter the outer court of the temple. He's properly excluded, has to live in a separate house. What a sad ending to this poor guy's life. He got the opposite of what he wanted. It's a classic tragedy, really, where the king rises to the top and tries to go higher and falls even lower than he ever thought he could. And why? Verse 16 again. His pride led to his downfall. When, God, when will we have a humble king? Cried the people of Judah as they reread this history years later. When will we have someone who does the first half of Uzziah's story, but not the second? Well, the answer is Jesus. Jesus is the king who does right, the king who enters God's presence rightly, not out of pride, but in humbling himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus does what the priests couldn't do. He opens God's presence, opens the way for us. Mark 15, verse 37 to 38, the account of Jesus' death says, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That's the big thick black curtain that separated the inner most holy place, torn in two. The way is now open. Jesus' death is the end of the temple system. The way we come to God now is not through animal sacrifices or through human priests, but through Jesus' death. Because Jesus opened the way, the curtain is torn and we have access to God. The people of Judah couldn't go into God's holy place in the temple. Not even their great king, really good king, Uzziah, couldn't go in. And the priests could only go in once a year to the most holy place, the place of God's presence on earth. Jesus went into the heavenly throne room, the even holier place, and he blew the doors right off. And this morning he calls to you and he says, come in. Come in, come in and spend eternity with the God who made you. No matter what you've done, I've paid for it. No matter who you think you are, even if you think you're not holy enough, you're not good enough, come in. Look, I was nailed to the cross for you. When Jesus says, it is finished, he meant it. He meant it. And there's nothing else we need to be able to do. We need to do to be able to get to heaven. Jesus has done it all, and we just say thank you. We do all we can to cling on to him, to keep trusting, to keep going, so that when we die, we're rushed in on his coattails into heavenly places. And this is where we come to apply this to ourselves. Jesus entered God's presence and opened the way for us. So approach boldly. Don't approach recklessly like Uzziah did. God is holy. God is separate from us. You can't know God through your goodness. You can't earn his forgiveness. You need a priest. You need an intercessor. You need Jesus. Don't for a second think that you are good enough to earn a right to God's presence. None of us are good enough. No way. And never get to the point in your life where you think you deserve God's forgiveness. Note that Uzziah's quite old at this point. He's probably sort of worked through his life and eventually thought, I'm probably good enough now. No matter how many years of service you have, no matter how many good things you've done for God, all the good deeds you've done are from him. Just like he gave Uzziah success, he's given those good deeds to you. And don't approach reluctantly either. Remember that the way is open. God wants you to come to him. Not because of what you've done, but because of Jesus. Have confidence that God wants you in heaven with him. Never think, ooh, I might not get in. I don't think I'm good enough. It's not about you being good enough. kids, I know the Trogs are in here today. One thing that I thought when I was little is that life is often about earning your place somewhere. It's about trying to deserve a right to be somewhere. And I used to think heaven was like that, but it's not. You don't need to earn it. Jesus has paid it all for you. And if you're trusting in Jesus, you can have 100% confidence that you're going to go to heaven. You don't need to tick any boxes or earn anything. What if you're not as good as other Christians? That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Nobody's good enough. Jesus is the only one, and he paid for the sins of those Christians who you think might be a little bit better than you, and for you. None of us are good enough on our own. We all need Jesus, and if we trust in him, we will have his welcome. So not recklessly, not reluctantly, but boldly. God's arms are open wide. Through Christ we can come. The curtain is torn. Our priest is in heaven interceding for us. Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 22. Sorry, it's a bit small on the screen. I'll read it out. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Brothers and sisters, draw near. Draw near now in prayer. God did so much to give us access to him. This Good Friday, look to the cross and let it revolutionize your prayer life. Draw near, come boldly, every day. And when we die, we will draw near forever in heaven. Heaven's not just a nice place. It is a nice place, but it's where God is. That's what the wonderful thing is about it. It's eternal, drawing near to our great God who loves us. When we die, we can walk into that throne room boldly. Isaiah entered God's presence wrongly, and the way was barred for him. Jesus entered God's presence, his true presence in heaven, and he opened the way for us. So bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. If you're not a Christian here today, just checking out church on Good Friday, then come to Jesus as the only way to come to God. Rejecting him is rejecting our only way to be saved, our only way to enter God's presence, our only way to eternal life. Don't turn down that offer. And young people, Trogs, sometimes we might think that God is happy with us. Some days we might think he's not. You know, like, if you want something from your parents, you might go and tidy your room first and then ask them. And if you've had a day where, you know, they're not happy with you, you're not just going to go and ask them for an ice cream because you know they're not going to give it to you. Well, God's not like that. You might think that I've had a bad day, I've not been a good person, so I'm not going to talk to God. God wants you to come to him whatever you've done today. Whatever situation we're in, we can pray. God doesn't say, you've upset me today, so I'm not going to listen to you. God wants us to come to him. The way is open. Because we have access to God, we can pray. If you're doing the crossword, that might be one of your answers. And if you've been a Christian a long time, if you've heard 50 or more Good Friday talks, are you getting to a stage where you're less amazed by this? Jesus entered God's presence and opened the way for us. Don't lose sight of what a big deal that is. Look at Isaiah, look at the requirements for entering God's place, the holiness of God, the curtain that barred him from entry, and see how Jesus broke every single one of those barriers down. Our priest entering God's presence and opening the way for us to praise him for the wonderful news that we can approach boldly now and eternally in heaven. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Wait. Jesus really died for me? Yes, he did. He died to bring us to God. Jesus entered God's presence and opened the way for us. So approach boldly. Let me pray as we close. Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the arms outstretched in welcome. The access we have into the throne room, that we can be heard by you now, and that we can spend eternity with you in heaven. Help us never to lose sight of how amazing this is. Help us to trust only in you, not our good deeds. And help us to rejoice. Thank you, Lord. Amen.